Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We were scheduled today to, at this point, to talk to somebody with Louisiana Trans Advocates, the president, Dylan Weigersback. But I'm going to ask him if he can call us tomorrow, because I really want to talk about this legislation that would require parental consent for any minor who's trying to get gender therapy, which would include psychotherapy and even surgical and non-surgical procedures for gender identity. And I know it seems like a no-brainer whenever you hear minor parental consent. I mean, yeah, of course the parents should give consent. But there are situations that make that not possible or make that a dangerous situation. And some parents don't really understand their kids. And it's not like we're giving kids power. It's just that they can't talk to their parents about certain things that are going on with them. And Dylan Weigersback, president of Louisiana Trans Advocates, he's a really great person to talk to, and I want to have this conversation. But we had such an explosion last hour to talking about President Biden's infrastructure plan that does include money that would be used to revitalize Treme, a neighborhood in the late 60s that was divided by the I-10 on Claiborne Avenue. And at one point, Claiborne Avenue was like St. Charles Avenue. There were trees and azalea bushes, and there was a big neutral ground, and it was a whole different place than it is today. So there's talk about somehow changing that. I don't know all the specifics, but it just brings to mind another aspect of New Orleans that changed dramatically. And look, there's always going to be this battle between progress and preservation. I get that. That's nothing new. So instead of having this go through the French Quarter, at the time it was determined that it needed to go through this area. But it did break up the black business district here in New Orleans. If you have memories of Treme, I'd love to hear from you. And again, our lines just exploded, so I've got a lot of people on hold. Let's start to get to some of your calls. If you do want to join us, the WWL Talk and Text line, 504-260-1870. And if somebody called you and told you we were talking about this on the show today, I want you to remember where you're getting this information and where you're hearing us talk about this, where you're hearing this discussion. I'm Scoot, and this is WWL AM FM. Let's go to Lewis, who is in Oklahoma. Hey, Lewis, welcome to the show.
Hey, how are you doing today?
I'm good.
Hey, I'm calling to listen to your show. It's intriguing. And I wanted to tell you about, we're talking about black business districts. And here in Oklahoma, I'm from Florida. I've only lived here in Oklahoma for a few years. But anyway, Tulsa used to have what was called Black Wall Street. And that was in the 1920s. Mm-hmm. And it was seen as extremely successful business district and neighborhood for the black community. And one night, I guess, it got destroyed. The white people came through and just kind of burnt it down and destroyed it. The day before, there was a quarrel between some black guys and some, I guess, I can't remember the story because I learned this a long time ago, and some white people, and they were going to lynch this black guy. And they tried to stop it, and the sheriff said he would stop it. And I guess that evening, that night, went to bed, and, you know, that's when riots occurred and they burned down that town.
But yeah, I remember.
One of the first business districts.
I remember reading about that. It's just another example of what may have been the segregated mentality at the time.
Correct. That's it. That's all I wanted to say. I listen to your show all the time. I love it. Keep up the good work.
I appreciate it, Lewis. Glad you're streaming the show from Oklahoma. Let's go uptown to Dean. Dean, you're now on WWL. Good afternoon.
How you doing, Scoop? This
I'm
is
good.
Gene.
Gene. Okay.
And I, like one of the earlier callers, I wasn't in high school like he was, but I was elementary school in the 7th Ward in the Treme area during the 60s. And I remember very vivid images, the construction of the interstate and the simultaneous destruction of the neighborhood. They were they're pretty much as wide as it is now. And it was giant oak trees all along from Elysian Fields all the way up to Canal Street. I remember also, like, you see the remnants of some of the houses. They're these old, like, colonial and Victorian-style houses. I remember seeing almost on a daily basis these houses that had been jacked up and put on flatbed trucks and being taken out of town at about 5-7 miles an hour, these long convoys of these glorious houses that some owners, instead of tearing them down, you know, selling, you know, they had to take the money because the government said, we're coming through here. They took their houses, jacked them up, and moved them. So they're scattered all throughout the South now, the ones that were able to survive this transition. And also remember sitting in school and all day long, pile drivers from
really?
The time of school. Yeah, because, you know, they had to drive piles all the way to interstate is. And so it was all day long we heard pile drivers hammering into the ground all the way through the neighborhood throughout the day, and they would stop around 4 or 5 in the evening, and
yeah, you know, and look, for those who are new to the area, because we're so saturated with water right underneath the surface of New Orleans, in this whole area, to build something, you got to drive pilings in the ground and build it on top of the foundation.
And tons of piling, yeah. All along, everywhere there's an estate, there's tons and tons of concrete, and I guess they started with the wood, but there's just tons of support had to be put in there before they could pour 1 ounce of concrete.
All right, Gene, I know you were young at the time, but did you get a sense that this was destroying a neighborhood, or did you get a sense at the time that this was progress?
I could see, because I had to walk. I went to school on St. Bernard Avenue, Corpus Christi, and I would walk through the area to go on my way home, which was on Annette Street. And you could just see the houses in shambles, and the vacant lots that used to be neighborhoods. So, yeah, to me it was more destruction because it's easier to destroy than to build. So the destruction, they came through in a grand wave and swept everything away, and then the construction of the interstate took years. So there was a long time period with nothing there where people used to live. And the houses that weren't bought out, they're in the shadow of this giant monolithical this overpass. And I also remember just a couple years ago, and I'll let you go to somebody else, in his second term in office, Mitch Landrieu commissioned a study to see what it would take to dismantle that section of the interstate from Elysian Fields to Canal Street. And what the impact would be, but I never remember any results being published. You remember anything about that?
No, I don't. I know this has come up in recent years because, again, you know, I was a kid growing up. We were growing up in the suburbs, so you know, I was not familiar with that neighborhood, and I was really unaware of what was going on at the time because, I mean, I was, you know, really young. I mean, I didn't pay attention to the world at that point. But it's really interesting to have heard this over the years, and then now to hear that there's a plan in effect, and you know it could be Cedric Richmond, who's now a close advisor to President Biden, has had something to do with this. And Ron Sanford, our friend from Metairie Bank, brought that up earlier. Gene, I'm going to move on. I appreciate you sharing the story with us, and thanks for listening to our show. Let's go to Mary, who is in Mid City. Hey, Mary, welcome to WWL.
Hi. I discovered the St. Augustine Church over 2 years ago. when I was looking for a different place to go to for the St. Joseph's Day altar. And I'm telling you, I loved it. It was the best because the people were friendly. They served generous amounts of food, and the cookies were the best.
And now tell me where this is, Mary.
It's an old slave church is what I thought. It's St. Augustine's in Treme. And I felt, I attended the Mass, and I realized, I didn't know, and I realized that I was sitting where a slave had sat.
You know, it's so creepy to think that.
Yes, that's exactly how it was.
Yeah.
And the whole neighborhood was kind of really creepy. There was an old convent, I guess. It looked haunted to me. But I have to say also that you can look in the newspaper that came before the Gambit. I believe it was a forerunner of the Gambit. I don't remember the name.
I think it was Figaro.
I don't know. I'm thinking it was something else, but it might have been Figaro.
Okay.
Bill Rushton, or William Faulkner Rushton, who was an architecture student over at Tulane, a friend of mine and my brothers and my roommates, was against the interstate in general. So I'm thinking he might have written some articles about what it might do to Treme. So if somebody could do that research, if they were interested, I wouldn't be surprised if his name is Bill Rushton. He's dead now. Bill Rushton or William Faulkner Rushton.
Yeah, I'm sure there were studies done and articles written about that. Mary, I appreciate you sharing that with us, and glad you're listening to our show. If you want to join us for your comment this afternoon, the WWL Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870, and my email address is scoot@wwl.com. So we're going to continue with this conversation. We're going to have the conversation about whether or not transgender minors should have to get parental consent to get therapy, to get non-surgical psychoanalysis, or even surgical treatment for their gender identity. We'll talk about that on the show tomorrow afternoon because that is a very important topic. But again, our phones have just exploded this afternoon with this conversation about the neighborhood of Treme, believed to be the oldest black neighborhood in America, divided by the interstate that goes right through there along Claiborne Avenue. And Claiborne Avenue used to be a different place. We'll get back to more of your calls when we come back. I'm Scoot on the air, and this is WWL. We're talking about the changes that took place in the late 60s, putting an interstate, the interstate, the elevated expressway along Claiborne Avenue that literally divided Treme. Do you remember Treme when it was a neighborhood? Claiborne was this beautiful avenue lined with oak trees and azalea bushes and thriving businesses. You know, this was at a time when blacks could not always shop at white stores. So this is what really gave birth when Treme was first developed. This is what gave birth to a strong black business district in Treme. And much of that was disrupted with the putting in of the interstate. Now, was that the best place they could have put it? Maybe so. So this might not have been the result of segregated mentality. It might have been, but maybe not. In any event, a lot of people were displaced, and President Biden's infrastructure plan is going to allow some money to be spent to rejuvenate the Treme neighborhood. So we can also talk about something that changed in your neighborhood, whether it's for the better or for the worse, because we do always have change. And New Orleans is such a historic place that there's a lot to try to preserve, but then progress is also important. If you want to join us, the WWL Talk and Text line, 504-260-1870. Let's go uptown. Hey, Nick, welcome to the show.
Yeah, Scoot. Biden's about 50 years too late with this. You know, they should have did this when it was going on. I used to go, that's besides the point, though, but I used to go to on Claiborne and listen to jazz back in the 70s. And I used to drive through, go over to Judge Seabrook Bridge in the 60s, and drive through Claiborne Avenue and all of that. And we used to listen to jazz. It was still trying to breathe in the 70s, but it still was going down. Down to 80, as the 90s hit, it was over.
But even in the 70s, Nick... But even in the seventies, I mean, the interstate was through that area by 69.
Yeah, there were still businesses there. They were trying. Yeah. I used to go listen to jazz music there.
I see. Yeah, I see.
Yeah, I used to go listen. My friends, we like rock and roll, but we used to like jazz too.
Yeah.
And we used to go there with all black red, white, and you could see Jimmy Smith, look. Kenny Burrell, a lot of good players back then.
Yeah.
And but that was in the 70s, but this gradually went downhill from the 70s, 80s, 90s to what we got now. They never did try to build it up ever again.
Yeah.
You know, that's all I wanted to say.
Nick, you said a lot. I appreciate you sharing that memory with us. Let's go to Thibodeau and EJ. You're on WWL.
Yo, Scoot, how you be, man?
I'm good.
I want to add something to your Billie Holiday story.
Okay.
First off, her name was Eleanor Fagan.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, she was not born, but she changed her name to Billie Holiday, yeah.
Right. And she penned the lyrics to a song entitled Strange Fruit, which was about the hanging and lynching of black men in the South.
And what was tell me the name of that song again.
Strange
Fruit. That's right.
And she, as a result of singing that song, she came to the attention of a high ranking federal agent named Harry Anslinger, who forbid her to sing that song, but she continued to sing it anyway. He hounded her and followed her around, and finally he couldn't go to Harlem, so he enlisted the help of a black man to trap her. And that's how she went to the penitentiary.
It was not related to heroin use?
No, the charges was related to something else.
Okay.
I can't remember exactly what it was. But once she got out, she went to rehab. She went to a mental institution.
Yeah.
Rehab. And Lieslinger had her chained to the bed in this institution.
That's right. I mean, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I believe when she died, she was chained to the bed. Handcuffed to the bed.
She was handcuffed to a bed. That's how she died.
Yeah.
And I'm 84. I remember her well, you know. I was in love with her. I'm still in love with her.
Well, EJ, I appreciate you sharing that emotional story with us. And, this is the day she was born in 1915, and she really led a really, really rough life. I never saw the biopic, Lady Sings the Blues, with Diana Ross, but I'm sure it covered a lot of this stuff. But she did lead a really rough life, and I appreciate you sharing that with us. Let's go to Marrero and RJ. Welcome to WWL.
Yo, what's up, Scoop?
Hey, RJ.
Well, I can tell you a whole lot about my neighborhood because I have photographs from the early 50s and 60s where I was born and raised, with me standing on that neutral ground there, mass for Mardi Gras, as what they did. And
yeah, that was a big spot for Mardi Gras, and it still is. Oh. This is why to this day it's still the meeting place for the Mardi Gras Indians.
And that's basically what it was. And back then, I'm going to tell you, you brought something else up about the food stores and all that. Back then, black people didn't go to Winn-Dixie because that X in Dixie had that flag on it.
Oh.
That's why we didn't go there. We refused to shop there, man. So we went to Treme or the Circle. So it was I'm going to tell you, the government did a lot of economic terrible things to us. There were two parks over there. If you can remember, there was the Iberville Project and the Lafitte. One side was Lehman 1, the other side Lehman 2. You better not go across Claiborne and go in Lehman 1. And equipment and everything was better on that side.
Hmm.
It's just a lot of people don't know about the history of the way we were treated. And when they put that interstate there, it just literally killed all the businesses. It killed them.
RJ, what if it was the better of two locations? I mean, what if it would have destroyed part of the French Quarter? What if it was just one of those things that the sacrifice had to be made?
I will say this. If it was, they'd have rebuilt that better than they did for us because it was business. So the thing is, the lesser of two evils, let's take out these people here, and we're going to keep that. They should have did it.
That's why I'm bringing this up, because these kinds of things are not that far in our past. And when people talk about race relations today and they want to conveniently say, that was a long time ago, this stuff was not that long ago. And there's been just a series of one thing after another after another. And I think there are a lot of people who just don't understand this from the black point of view. And it's impossible to really understand it if you're not black. But I'm trying to do what I can to help explain some of the history. And this adds also to this this racial tension that we still feel today. And if we don't admit it and recognize it, we're never going to solve it.
You know what the new discrimination is now?
What?
I've been through the one with race. I've had the one with my weight. I've had the one with an illness. The new one now is I don't look like I'm in my 60s, but if you put that down and you don't see the people, it's age. Look at General Honoré in Washington. He's got to get Congress to raise the age to get cops. It's age discrimination now because the baby boomers are retiring. You can't get a job.
Well, and then a lot of baby boomers don't want to retire. They want to keep going.
Well, thank you, but it's hard to get a job if you don't see the people. You don't go fill out an application anymore. When you put your age down, you immediately get kicked back.
You know, RJ, that's going to be another conversation we're going to have very soon.
Another day, another day. But right now, like you said, when it comes down to the Treme was the place, man. So I'm going to let you go with that, Scoop.
All right,
another day, okay?
I appreciate the call.
Thanks.
I'm Scoot. This is WWL. And let's go to senior studio producer Ian Hoke, who has some more of your text messages.
Here's a text that says, the idea that it wasn't racist to destroy a black neighborhood to put in an overstate, I think they mean overpass or interstate, the black neighborhood to put in overstate might be more believable if they didn't do the exact same thing in every other major American city. Look it up.
No, I'm not. Look, I brought it up because, you know, it may have been the better of the two options. However, I am not dismissing whatsoever that this was an easy neighborhood to pick on. And I clearly understand that. So, you know, don't misunderstand me there.
Of course. Here's a text that says part of that reasoning was creating an avenue for the trucks to come to the port of New Orleans. They tried putting a tunnel highway underneath the French Quarter and it didn't work. So Claiborne was the next option to get the trucks to the port of New Orleans.
Well, and they're saying that that's why the expressway was put there.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's right. For the
trucks. Well, I mean, the riverfront expressway would have been even closer to the port. So I don't know if that's, you know, the only reason that they did that.
Do you know about the tunnel?
No, I mean, how can they have a tunnel in New Orleans?
Bro, they got a tunnel. I swear it's real.
There's a tunnel?
I've been hearing this rumor for years. I've even heard from this guy who went to this dude's party at this one house where this person was working with them. And they said that, like, somewhere between, like, Canal Place and the casino, there's a tunnel, a big one, big enough that you could drive Mack trucks through it. And it's underneath the surface street. And I hope a historian or somebody that knows the facts of this instead of just me repeating what I heard at a party one time.
So it's between Canal Place
and the casino and Harris.
Well, that's the casino's right across the street.
Right, right, right. So it's a short tunnel.
It's a short tunnel, okay.
But if I can remember the story correctly, they started to build the underground tunnel before they had totally settled the issue of where the overpass was going to go. So they started building the tunnel thinking that the riverfront expressway was going to come in between the French Quarter and the river, and then it was going to go underground for a period of time.
Well, a couple of years ago, there was that sinkhole on Canal Street, right?
Bingo.
About that area.
Exactly.
And I mean, it opened up, and there was like a lot of room down there.
There's
so
a tunnel,
maybe
bro.
That was the tunnel.
There's a tunnel. I hope very much that someone is listening right now that, you know, worked at safety and permits or something, and knows about the mysterious tunnel, because that would be really cool to get some resolution on that.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder if there's a way to, like, access the tunnel.
Yeah.
I mean, does somebody have a door to the tunnel?
You could go down there. You could do a man-on-the-street interview from the secret tunnel underneath Canal Street, man.
We're in the tunnel.
Cool. tunnel.
Yeah, that's really strange. Yeah, but we talk about crazy stuff on this show, and sometimes it's fun to just talk about this history, because New Orleans is so rich with history. And I love talking about this, and I love trying to put things in perspective and to think about what Claiborne used to be and what it is now. And the idea that Biden is talking about putting some money to rejuvenate Treme. I mean, this is an interesting topic. And also, our phones have been just lighting up. All right, do you have one more?
I got one more, and then I'm going to answer the phone, which won't stop ringing. It says, I-10 only goes 18 to 20 blocks through Treme. If you add two lanes to both directions, then they will have enough room for what is currently there, like on the Uptown side of Claiborne, where they have trees and a bike path. So I think the texter is suggesting if you knock down the expressway and then, judge the streetscape a little bit, then North Claiborne will start to look like South Claiborne.
I see.
Which I guess was, nicer in some ways, but hard. Like North Claiborne, the way it is right now, it's become this cultural institution, right? People gather down there for parties and barbecues and cookouts and all kind of stuff.
And they always did.
But if you take that, if you take the shelter away, I think there's no guarantee that what they replace it with is going to be as valuable to that community.
I see.
Like if you look at South Claiborne, it's not at all the same thing as what's happening on North Claiborne. Right. Anyway, I'm going to answer some phone calls. Take us out.
All right. I just got a text on my personal phone that I'm going to check during the break from somebody who has some information about the secret tunnel in downtown New Orleans. So I'm going to check that out. All right. A sad note on our pop culture calendar. It was on this day last year, April the 7th, 2020. Acclaimed singer-songwriter John Prine died at the age of 73, and John had just contracted coronavirus. He was the second person, the second celebrity to die from coronavirus. Adam Schlesinger, who was the lead singer of the band Fountains of Wayne, who had that song, song Stacy's Mom, he was the first one to pass away from COVID, and John Prine was the second. And I do remember that day, 1 year ago today. And so we'll go to break with John Prine. Gone but not forgotten. Oh, and by the way, this song is titled Unwed Fathers, which somebody told us about yesterday on the show, so thank you for that. And it was about what we talked about yesterday. And coming up very soon, we're going to do a show on fathers and child support and how unfair the system is in many ways to fathers. We only hear about the deadbeat dads, but there are some dads that are really doing the best they can, and they're kind of being taken advantage of by women. I'm Scoot. We'll be back on WWL. So I just got a text on my personal phone, and it says, "Scoot, I work at Harrah's, and my shop is in the tunnel." So there's a tunnel downtown, and apparently this tunnel was being dug as a possible alternative to the Claiborne Expressway. So Ian, any text on the tunnel?
Any texts? Any texts? I got 1,000 text messages here. You and I are the last people on earth to find out about the tunnel, apparently. Everyone knows about it. Everybody's got a story about the tunnel.
Oh, my God. That's so cool.
Some people are even giving me my own advice and saying, why don't you Google the tunnel? So, good. Thanks, guys. We're on it.
Yeah, we can do that. But, I mean, look, it's interesting because I started the show today by saying, sometimes this show's all over the place and we really don't have a lot of structure to it and we just talk about a lot of things. And today we were going to talk about three distinct different topics.
Yeah.
The Treme issue at 1 o'clock, transgender minors getting permission from parents to have any kind of transgender therapy at 2 o'clock, and legalizing pot in Louisiana at 3 o'clock. And when the phones exploded with Treme and then now with the tunnel, we decided to just stay with this. But we will get to those other topics soon. Let's go to Gentilly. And May, you're on WWL.
Yes.
Hey, May.
Yes. I was a security guard. And I worked in that river thing, and they have a tunnel. And that tunnel is big enough to drive an 18-wheeler. Now, I think it go all the way out to Elysian Field.
Really?
Okay. Then when I got on with Harrah's Casino, they have a sub-tunnel in the bottom of Harrah's Casino right this day. Okay?
Well, I know there's a tunnel walkway. In Harris, there's a tunnel walkway from the casino to the parking garage.
No, not that one. That one there is below ground. I'm talking about the one that connected to the 18-wheelers can go through. They got a sub-tunnel all the way down there.
Really?
It's still in Harris. I worked at Harris 19 years in promotions.
Well, May, what goes on? What goes on now? I mean, if you went into the tunnel right now, what would you see?
You would see it. It's high enough. It's real dark. They have lights through there. And when I was a security guard, we had to go through there, and they used to have keys back there, and they had tracks. They had tracks in the middle of that tunnel, and I always ask how far the tunnel go, and the guy always would say he think it go all the way to Esplanade, and then you can come up out of Esplanade and be in the back of the French Quarter.
Well, I wonder where it where would it come up? I can't imagine where it would come up.
I don't know where I've always been too scared to go through it.
Well, I wouldn't walk through that tunnel alone. I don't blame you, May. Well, May, I appreciate you sharing the information with us, and I'm glad you're listening to our show.
All right, and I love Eden. He always gets to the bottom of everything.
Oh, cool. Well, thank you, May. All right, where are we going next, Ian? We're going to Mike in New Orleans. Hey, Mike.
Hi, Scoot. How are you today?
I'm good.
Hey, my father, William K. Turner, was one of the leaders of the opposition to the Riverfront Expressway. He was on the Tulane School of Architecture faculty.
Okay.
He became dean in 1971 through 81. We had a number of conversations on this. That tunnel was a design feature under the Rivergate when it was being built. There's the anticipation of the Riverfront Expressway. It was supposed to connect I-10 with the Greater New Orleans Bridge at the time, the Crescent City Connection. I don't exactly know where it was supposed to come up, but the elevated portion was supposed to run right where the moonwalk was supposed to be in front of the St. Louis Cathedral, and it was supposed to go under Canal Street and then come back up to connect with the bridge in some way. So that's where the tunnel comes from.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, I guess I'd kind of, you know, I'd heard about it, but I'd kind of passed it off. There's no tunnel in New Orleans, and you know, I mean, I was born here.
Right.
And you hear rumors about stuff, and you don't always know it's true, but apparently this is true.
Right, and if you think about it, if they'd have built that elevated expressway, you wouldn't have the Hilton, you wouldn't have the New Orleans Convention Center there, because all that now, it may have ended up in different places.
Right.
I also heard, too, that Claiborne Avenue was the lesser of two evils. At least at that time, that community did not have enough political power to avert an elevated expressway being put there. So
no doubt. No doubt that was a factor.
Hey, yeah, Mike, listen. It was a political decision at some point, but
imagine that. Politics coming into play here in New Orleans.
Absolutely. Well, I just thought I'm in on the tunnel. So it's there. Apparently, it's used for valet parking at Harris.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm fascinated. Look, we're discovering something new here. I mean, maybe rumors. I heard rumors, but I didn't know it was really there.
There's on one of the side streets, there's the entrance to it. You can walk down, and there's multiple levels down there.
Well, I may have to go on a little adventure. Mike, listen, I appreciate you sharing that with us, and glad you're listening to our show. All right, if you're on hold, hang on. We'll get back to more of your calls. On this day in 1990, at a Farm Aid concert at the Hoosier Dome in Indianapolis, Elton John held a vigil for Ryan White. Name sound familiar? Ryan White was the 18-year-old young man who was one of the first high-profile AIDS victims. He got the disease from a blood transfusion. And I remember that parents were taking their kids out of school because they thought that their kids could get AIDS just walking down the hall with Ryan White. Elton John at that concert dedicated this song, Candle in the Wind, which he wrote about Marilyn Monroe, dedicated this song to Ryan White, who passed away the next day. I'm Scoot, and this is WMAD Well. Hey, with this LSU scandal, with this sex scandal going on, any second thoughts about sending your daughter to LSU? And you kind of have a feeling that maybe Les Miles knows Matt Gaetz. Anyway, we'll look out for a connection there. You know, when I think about what happened with Treme and that Claiborne used to be this beautiful avenue with a neutral ground and oak trees, large towering oak trees and azalea bushes. You know, I think that the liberal tree huckers of today would maybe have a little bit to say about destroying that street the way it was. We've got a lot of people on hold. So if you're on hold, stay with us. We continue with this into the next hour. This is what I love about this show. It's live and we never know what direction we're going to go in. Are there any other secrets about New Orleans that most people don't know about? We'll continue to talk about this. So let's go to Andy right now in Gentilly. Hey, Andy. Hey, Andy. Well, let's put Andy on hold. We'll just, get him settled for next hour. Again, if you're on hold, just relax through the news, and we'll get to your calls in the next hour. Just the phones exploded when we started talking about Treme and the elevated interstate expressway going through Treme, dividing the neighborhood. Dividing up America's oldest black neighborhood. And it used to be just more of a vibrant area than it is now. And so we're going to continue that conversation. We will talk about transgender minors and whether or not they should get permission from their parents to have any kind of transgender therapy. And we'll also talk about legalizing pot in Louisiana tomorrow. So if you want to hear today's show, tune in tomorrow. We'll have that. But I love that we can react to what's going on right now on the show. And so now we're talking about this tunnel in downtown New Orleans. And if you want to add to the conversation, you can call us. And is there any other secret about New Orleans that most people don't know about? The WWL talk and text line is 504-260-1870. And my email address is scoot@wwl.com. It's time for the $1,000 Odyssey National Cash Contest code word. The code word this hour is jump. Text J-U-M-P to 72881. Text JUMP, J-U-M-P, to 72881. That's all you have to do. And that right now, if you do that right now, text JUMP to 72881, that qualifies you to win $1,000 in cash. We're going to have the next code word coming up right before the top of the hour news at 4 o'clock, and we never charge for text, but individual plan text and data rates may apply, and please never text and drive. So, yeah, what other secrets are there about New Orleans that maybe most people don't know? And if you've got any information on the tunnel, or if you want to comment on the expressway that divided Treme in the late 60s, the number is 504-260-1870.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O' Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, oh.